Hi, everybody. You're tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash. It's the show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and today's show is sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. This Saturday, that's September 25th, from 7 to midnight, the Heritage Party is going to take place at Roberta's. That's where we broadcast from. And it's going to be all you can eat and all you can drink. And you got to know that the food here is going to be incredible, because Roberta's and Heritage is all about the food. All you can eat and drink for $100 per person. It's a bit of a fundraiser. We need to know if you're coming ahead of time so we can make sure we order enough meat for you. You can call RSVP 718-389-0985. And come on down. We're going to have music and lots of people and incredible food and drink and a lot of fun. Hope to see you there. Okay, today I want to first thank my engineer and my producer. That is Nat Wiener and Jack Inslee. I want to introduce my invisible co-host. Sometimes he's the invincible co-host, but today he's invisible. My son, Andrew Newman, who isn't here. And that day has finally arrived. He swore it wouldn't happen. It happened. Every Thursday, we broadcast live 4:30 to 5 p.m. You can always, if you can't listen live, listen on the archives. Go to the website, www.heritageradionetwork.com, or you can download podcasts from iTunes. They're free, and listen to all the episodes anytime you want. During the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can call in. The number is 718-497-2128. Or you can email me any questions or comments. Would like to hear from Andrew. Maybe he'll send me an email at information@heritageradionetwork.com. Today, the show is budgets. It's a recipe for cooking your books. So since the Heritage Radio Network is all about food, except for Flash Talks Cash, I decided to join the party and make the money show a recipe for how to set up a budget. It's so easy to do. All you have to do is follow the 10 easy steps and then presto, changeo, you got yourself a budget that you probably can live with and probably make you happy. There are a lot of people out there that can handle their money and don't need the budget stuff, but there's probably even more of you out there that don't have a clue how to do it and how to secure your money, play with your money so it becomes works for you and you actually get ahead of the game instead of behind the game. So we're going to start with the first thing, take your net pay and put it on a piece of paper. Dump it in a bowl, as they put it in a recipe. Put it on a piece of paper. Write down your net pay, what you take home. Oh, the invincible or invisible co-host has finally arrived. He'll get beaten up after the show. Andrew, nice to have you here today.
Those headphones are broken.
Okay, so we're going to take the net pay. I don't care what other money you have. Gross pay doesn't count. It's about what you take home. Then you have to sit down. This is the hard part for the people who have a hard part with budgeting. Sit down and write your bills that are required to be paid. Not your variables. Those are ones that change each month. I'm talking about the fixed ones. That would be your rent. That would be your utilities. That would be your specific loans, car loans, student loans, not your credit cards, personal loans, anything you have that's fixed and you have to pay each and every month. Your commuting costs, your insurance, fixed costs.
Don't you have to pay your credit cards every month?
That's a variable cost. We're talking about We're talking about the ones that you absolutely have to pay each month, and there's no change in those numbers. So that you start with, let's say hi to Andrew.
Hello, Joanne. How are you today?
Flash,
sorry.
Don't call me Joanne. So now we have your fixed costs. You put them down, and you subtract that from, you subtract it from your net pay. I'm doing this as a recipe, Andrew.
I see this.
And you come up with the money available to pay your variable cost. Variable cost means the numbers that do not stay the same each and every month. You have ability to make them higher or lower depending on you. That's cooking your books.
You can control your other expenses as well.
You can control a lot of them.
Like your utilities.
No, those are your fixed costs.
But they're not.
So then...
My utility bill changes every month.
Yeah, but you have to pay whatever the bill is. On your credit card, you have an option to pay more, less, or whatever. Okay, so now the variable costs, we're going to now put them on the table and list them. Your credit card payments... Put down your credit card bills. Your food. Your food is variable. You can spend more or less. Your taxes, if you're self-employed, you got to put down something, what you're supposed to pay monthly. Or any other monthly variable costs.
Entertainment.
Well, that's discretionary. That's another category.
Well, credit cards are... That's what ties into your credit card there.
So now, take those...
Why don't you listen to me? I'm trying a little give and take here, and you're just brushing me off.
I'm not.
You are. I'm trying to be insightful here.
No, but those are...
Is this because I was 3 minutes late?
You were more than 3 minutes.
I was not.
We're not talking about that.
Why not?
Let's talk about this recipe, please.
Your recipe is flawed.
No, my recipe is not flawed. So now we got your variable expenses.
What are we cooking?
We're cooking your budget. You're making a budget for yourself, and it's... And
but you can manipulate that to make it different.
I'm going to manipulate depending on your taste, right?
Why do I even show up if you don't listen to me?
You can listen. You can talk, but...
I'm talking. You're not responding to what I'm saying.
Now, you have to figure out on your credit card how much you have available. Your food, you have to say... Let's say you start out with $500. You put your rent, your utilities, your loans, your commuting, your insurance, and you wind up with $200. Okay?
That's the worst. Who makes $500 a month and has $300 worth of bills?
I'm just keeping it simple.
Well, why don't you start with
$2,000? Okay, let's change it to $2,000.
I think it makes more sense.
And you write down your rent.
How nice of you, thank you.
And your commuting, and your utilities. And you come up with $800 left, okay?
Who?
Now, let's...
It's $100 to get on the subway. Your rent's at least $700, $800.
Listen, Drew, stop talking about your life, and let's just use it as an example.
I'd say round number would be $500. $500 would be better.
Okay, $500. We have net $500.
There you go.
All right, we make
Andrew
happy.
Thank you so much.
Would you try to make me happy now?
I am. I'm here.
Oh, shush. So now we sit down and we say, okay, we got to pay for credit cards, food, and taxes.
Why are we including taxes?
Because if you're self-employed. I'm talking to a lot of freelancers out there.
Are we talking to the freelancers or are we talking to the regular people?
We're talking to everybody.
But then they get confused. You're muddling things. This is why your budget's going to be muddled.
No.
You have a muddled budget.
So let's decide that your credit cards, you have to pay a minimum of $100, and your food is $200, and your taxes are $100. So now you have $100 left, okay? $100 left. And now you have to do your discretionary. If you have $100 left, your discretionary is your entertainment, your clothing, your non-essential stuff. Okay, this is where you're going to get into trouble. This is where your books need a lot of cooking, okay? Because you're not going to have enough money to go out, buy yourself a pair of sneakers, and take $20 out of the ATM.
Your numbers are completely flawed.
So,
who buys clothing $100? $100. You're going with $100 a month.
No, I'm just using those numbers as an example.
Can we multiply this by at least three or something here? Because you're all off here.
So now you calculate.
I'm trying to look at it. I go to the ATM, I take out $60, right?
Yes.
I have $40 left for the rest of the month?
No, that's why I'm explaining to you. Most people are going to fall short. Okay? If you're positive, good for you. You should think about saving or increase some of your variable expenses, particularly your credit cards. I'm assuming if you're positive, you really don't have credit card debt. You're paying off your credit cards each month. However, if you're negative, which is a lot of people out there, that's where you have to start adjusting. Okay?
Your adjustments. Well, what can you adjust? You have $100.
Okay. Well, your adjustments could be your food. You can buy cheaper food or eat more at home and eat less out. You can pay a different amount to your credit cards until you figure out how to get to zero or positive.
Okay.
So you have to adjust.
I'm still confused by the numbers.
You have to adjust.
I'm adjusting.
You have to adjust your expenses or review your income. And there's one other little trick that you might be able to do.
Well, couldn't you look at it then? You can always review your fixed costs.
Fixed costs, you don't have much choice.
Yes, well, you can move.
Well, I did have that here as an option. Oh. So let's just go to the income. The income part of it, there's two couple things you could do. Number one is you could get a second job or do a freelance or a side work or get another job. And that's not easy to do, but it is possible to get a second job and increase your monthly income. The other thing is you can look at your taxes that are being withheld. If you get huge refunds come tax season, that means you're taking too much money out of your paycheck every week. You could adjust your withholdings on a weekly basis so you have enough money to buy yourself a beer at the end of the month. You could do that. Speak to your accountant or figure that out. If you're getting back $5,000 a year refund, that means you're taking out $100 a week too much in taxes.
So the guy
that $100 a week would go a long way.
The guy who only has $100 left at the end of the month is having $5,000 given to him at tax time?
There's a lot of that. People like to get those refunds.
Your numbers are off. This whole thing is just...
Well, here we go again.
Bamboozled.
Andrew disagrees with Flash. Okay. So that's one thing. That's another thing you do is change your withholdings. Either get another job, find some side work, get a new job, or change your withholdings. Those are the things you can do to increase your income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have to cut your expenses... Besides going through and adjusting the minimums, the maximums, you can, one, start taking lunch to work and save a lot of money. You can ride a bike to work and save transportation costs. And that could also cut out your gym membership fees. Okay? You can cook at home and eat out less, which would save a lot of entertainment costs. You can stop smoking if you smoke. You're just a dope if you smoke. Because how much are cigarettes these days, Andrew?
I don't know. $5 a pack.
Oh, they're now $5.
That's how much I pay.
Well, you get them from the Indian reservation. Is that what everybody does now?
I made an adjustment.
Okay. Well, if you have to smoke, you have to go to the Indian reservation. Otherwise, how much are they in the deli?
$12.
$12. Oh, my God.
Really? Is this your, pulpit?
Drink
is
less.
Is this where you vent all your ideas about everybody in society?
No.
Yeah, apparently.
Wait,
or just me. Is this, a shot at me under the table here?
You have a lot of defensiveness.
Me?
You're being very defensive. All I'm talking about is if some of the options to cut back expenses. You could drink less. You can party less. You can vacation less. Or you can move to a low-rent district. Okay, those are all things that you can actually do to cut back on some of those expenses. Those are real, real ideas.
I feel if you're going to cut out some of them, you should up the ante on the other ones.
What do you mean by
that? Like if you stop going on vacation, you might as well have a couple more beers and smoke a pack of cigarettes.
Well, yes. Well, that's the next thing I'm talking about. So if you do finally get to the positive.
Then we binge?
Then you can reward yourself. Whatever is important to you. It may be I want to buy myself a fancy new pair of shoes. I may want to go on a nice vacation. I may want to drink up and smoke a lot, which is bizarre to me, but we're not going to go there. Okay, so Andrew would opt to go to the bar and drink and smoke. I would go on to a vacation to Tahiti or something.
Well, Tahiti's a lot more expensive.
It depends. Remember my show about following the currency?
Yeah, but that, yeah, okay.
Just getting there. Use your miles.
Just get there. Use the miles, right?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Everyone has 50,000 miles just sitting around.
No, not everybody does, but if you do, use your miles.
Yeah, good idea.
So there's a lot of mistakes. Like your recipe could fail.
Like this one you just gave us?
Your budget is not practical. You know, it has to be what your real expenses are. You can't say, oh, well, I won't pay that one or I won't include that one. That's not going to work. You also, and this is a big problem for people who have budget problems.
What about the people who don't pay their fixed costs and then they go out instead?
Well, that's the next thing. It's called self-control.
Oh, I'm ahead of you here. I'm like three steps ahead of you everywhere, left and right, huh?
You really have to exert self-control when it comes to your finances, particularly if you're not a millionaire. Okay, most of us aren't millionaires, so we really have to live within confines of what we do earn and what our real expenses are. And I can't tell you, I know lots of people that just say, "Oh, screw it, I'm going to buy $600 shoes," when they can't even afford to pay the Con Ed bill. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so you have to exert self-control.
It makes them feel better
momentarily, and then they feel worse when they get home or they get that bill on the credit card.
What about when you look at them every day?
Yeah.
Just take solace in that fact that I have the nicest shoes on the block.
Yeah, you have the nicest shoes and the biggest credit card bill. And then you have an eviction notice in the mail.
Wow, you just took it to another level. Well, just because the person bought $600 shoes and paid them off.
That's symptomatic. Well,
So apparently this is an ongoing issue.
Oh, you think somebody
Dr. Flash, wow, I am so shocked that there haven't been more people calling in and saying, oh, Dr. Flesh.
Calling in. Speaking of calling in, what number should they call in?
You got it right there. All right, here we go. 718-497-2128. 718-497-2128.
I'd love to hear from you, especially if you would like to take Andrew's side or take my side, see who wins this battle.
You're wrong. Just let it go.
And the budget, don't forget to include all your expenses. You can't just not include some of them because it will ruin your budget. That's not going to work. You got to include everything in there to make sure that your recipe really works.
Did you tell them to write it all down?
Oh, sure. I said, write down. That was the first thing. Write down all.
Oh, I got here late. I'm just trying to recap here, making sure.
So you want to put your take-home pay down, list your fixed costs, your utilities, your loans, your rent, your commuting, your insurance bills that you have to pay each month. Then list your variable bills. That would be your credit card, your food.
I wouldn't even include those.
And then
I think that's totally different.
And then you have your discretionary, okay?
I think
discretionary
all those
are things that are not required, but you
all those
are
things
part of life.
Are the same thing. Your food and your credit cards are discretionary usually.
A perfect recipe is when you come to a positive place after you deduct all your expenses. And if you have a partner or a spouse, you combine both incomes into the pot.
No, you don't.
And you analyze your expenses. Well, if you share your
depending on the level of partner that you have,
yes,
I feel.
Well, okay, that's true. Or you split the expenses according to whatever ratio you guys decide on. But many, many, many couples pool their money together and pay their expenses together. Reward yourself with something special. Financial freedom is a great feeling. Strive for that.
I'm still striving.
Yeah. Okay, so...
I don't know. Maybe a little stipend from this show would help me reach that level. Are we at that level yet?
Submit your budget and I'll take a look at it. How's
my
that?
My personal budget? You're reviewing my personal budget now?
I'll review your personal.
I don't need your help on my personal budget.
See if there's an income shortage.
I just need a little help on the back end.
We'll get a second job.
For my discretionary. I have seven jobs.
Well, then get...
And I'm doing this one for free.
Well, now we're going to take a break.
Jack, we have a commercial here because we're going to fight now.
Let's take a break now, and we'll be back. Okay, we're back. Andrew and I are
I'm glad
consistent.
We hashed that out over
We agreed to disagree. He doesn't like my budget ideas. And frankly, let me just say something. People who don't have budget problems don't really want to tune in and listen. It's just second nature to them. But this is really for people who can't seem to figure out how to handle their money. You need to spend a little time and get honest with your bills and put a lot of effort. This takes effort.
Okay. I agree with you. And don't be scared to cut. You got to just, sometimes you got to just cut the discretionary.
You know, the
spending.
Cutting, I think the cutting is not the problem for a lot of people. I think it's really the self-control.
That's what I'm saying. You got to cut your expenses.
Well, the self-control. You can't cut your rent utilities often.
No.
But you can
I'm
cut
the discretionary.
Out the booze, the
yes,
butts.
You got to cut that back.
And the Jets
food,
tickets.
Mm-hmm. Jets tickets.
Okay.
Who has money for Jets tickets?
I don't know.
What the hell is that about?
So some people do. There's like 50,000 people in the stadium
every
week.
No, they're not selling out.
Oh, I didn't know.
You didn't get that? You didn't get that memo?
No, I didn't get that memo.
Okay, hold on.
I know they got a fancy
new
stadium.
I got a question here. Yeah, well, they haven't sold it. That's a whole other thing. My friend bought it.
That crazy license.
Pay money up front, then you got to buy tickets anyway.
Right.
What's the point?
I don't know.
You're just paying them extra money. You can sell it to someone else, but... All right, let's go to the question.
Let's talk about our email questions this week, please.
It's from
Let me just say, if you guys want to call me, I'd love to hear from you. It's 718-497-2128. 718-497-2128. Call us. Andrew would be happy to hear from anybody.
No telemarketers, please. Thank you.
Let's hear the email question.
I got Natasha in New Jersey. She says, should I use my cash earning 1% in a savings account to pay off student loans and a line of credit?
Well, initially, I think no. Because
isn't this your good debt?
Yeah, this is your good debt. That's what I say. However,
Also, she says, I may need money next year for a new home.
Right. So, you know, that would not stop me from using up your cash. Tell me, I wrote the balances there, didn't I?
Well, what does that matter?
Well, it matters how much cash she's talking about.
It's a total of $22,000.
Okay, so what I said originally was, no, that is good debt, and you get deductions for student loans, and you get the deduction on the line of credit. But for people who make over a certain amount of money, they don't get a deduction for the student loan interest.
Oh, okay.
And so they're not benefiting from that. And the line of credit is pretty small. And if they're going to sell the house, they're going to pay that off at the closing. So that one shouldn't be paid. But maybe the student loans can be paid off. All right. So what's the next question?
We have one more question. Mm-hmm. It is from Craig. And he's asking, how much is the gift tax? What is a gift tax?
Well, the gift tax, a lot of people ask that question. You know, when your parents give you money or somebody gives you...
I have no idea what that's like.
Of course you don't.
No idea.
You don't. Your parents don't give you money.
I'm waiting for that day.
Well, you're going to wait a long
time.
You
know, like 50% of the people in this city get supplemented by the parents?
I wonder where you got that
percentage.
That's
off the top of the head, but I'm just saying...
Yes, exactly.
I'd say a good portion of these kids out here...
Yeah, well...
You know, a little help, it goes a long way.
Do you know that the majority of people in this country don't make more than like $100,000? You think...
Okay, I don't either.
That's 95% of the population.
Okay.
That means most people don't get money from their parents.
In New York City, they do.
Well, we're talking about the whole wide world.
I'm here in New York. All right, whatever. Gift tax. Sorry, go back.
So the gift tax, there is no gift tax to the recipient. And there's often no gift tax to the person who's given the gift. The gift tax is just an information return. You send it to the government, telling the government, look, I transferred so many dollars or whatever asset from one generation to another generation, my kids often. And so it's reporting the information to the government, and most times there is no tax. So when people say, what's the gift tax, or I'm going to inherit some money, how much tax will I have to pay? Zero to the beneficiary or the recipient. Okay, so now we're going to go off to the creative accountant segment. So, I'm going to read this. That's next week. Okay, the creative accounting segment. Last week, we pulled three cards from the Storymatic. It's a box of cards used to stimulate creative juices, and we ask you to submit a story using the three cards and add a financial component to the story, and we will read it on air. At the end of the month, we're going to select the best story and award a prize, a nice bottle of wine from the Barter House. So this last week, we picked three terms. What were they, Drew?
We had a florist, a reluctant participant, and unwanted inheritance.
So we got a story from Joe the Jobless, and the name of the story is Diary of a Scion. Is that how you say that word? Scion?
Scion.
What's a scion?
It's like the last person or something. I don't know. I'm a numbers guy.
Okay. So on
why don't you have someone call in and
answer
that question?
This is Diary of a Scion. April 22nd, 1935, Grandpa left me his collection of coasters. I reckon these are a couple of thousand, a lot of them bearing beer or wine stains, partial arcs like crescents of the moon, phases his drinking went through, constellations from the black sky of his past. I don't want them. June 4th, 1935, my second cousin Purvis left me a ball of foil, weighed about 6 pounds, surprisingly heavy, about the size of a meatball, mated out of the pieces of silver paper that they used to wrap chewing gum, something like a piece of minimalist sculpture or sort of his very own tangible mantra, very zen, I don't want it. September 12th, 1935, Uncle Moco, don't know why they called him that, he left me the key to his closet in the cellar of his shop. He sold flowers. He wanted me to work for him. I always told him I'd think about it. I never thought about it. I just used to tell him that to shut him up. You may wonder what was in his closet. I don't. And I don't want the key. And don't ask me why. September 30th, 1935. My stepbrother left me his sense of rumor. He could detect a rumor lurking in the shadows or creeping up slow behind him. Used to snag them, strengthen them, and then spread them all around the neighborhood. I inherited, but I damn well didn't want it or need it. December 2nd, 1935, I decided to leave myself a reminder. The theologian Frederick Henry Hedge once said, "Every man is his own heir. He devises his own future and he inherits his own past." And you know what Brother Ray might say? Heir today, gone tomorrow. So Joe the Jobless managed to incorporate all of those terms into that very interesting diary. He definitely didn't want those inherited items. And his financial component was, I don't want my inheritance. So he doesn't have any estate tax. Because first of all, I just told you there is no estate tax to the beneficiary.
Like, let's just wrap this up here. Come on.
That was no good?
No, I didn't like that one.
Well, he doesn't have to pay any taxes on his inheritance. All
right, next week we have invitation from a stranger, a homeless person, and a child star.
Okay.
I like that one. I like those are much better, and hopefully we get some good stories in
there. Say it again, because we have to add a financial component to the story next week. Don't forget to add the financial component.
Invitation from a stranger, a homeless person, and a child star. It's so easy.
Oh, and next week we're going to have a guest. We're going to have, let me get his name over here. It's Sam Maudlin, and he...
Maudlin.
Maudlin. I'm sorry, Sam. And he has a company that makes T-shirts and donates them to vets, Iraq and Afghanistan.
No, he doesn't
vets.
Donate the T-shirts. He sells the T-shirts and donates some money to vets.
Oh, that's what... Okay, right. Well, anyway, he does a non-for-profit. He does something really good for vets. It's a non-for-profit entity. He's going to be on next week talking about the non-for-profit part of business.
I never understood that.
A non-for-profit?
Yeah.
He's doing the good work. I know. I really think you should be here next week on time and get the full show. Wow. That'd be a good thing.
Wow, what's with the snipes here? I'm here.
Oh, that's good.
I'm here every week.
I'm very happy. So, I want to tell you as I wind down. Oh, you have something to tell me?
No, I wanted to talk about this non-for-profit thing.
Okay, what do you want to say?
I don't get it. Why would you do it?
Why would you do a good work for the people who might need?
I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
Why I'm in need.
Are you related to me?
What good? Whoa, I forgot. What nonprofit work have you done?
Oh, I've done a lot of
good. Throw a couple out there. You donated some money.
No, I said I've donated a lot of things. Time. Wasn't I a big sister in the Big Brother, Big Sister program?
Yeah, that worked out well.
But I was a big...
Yeah, you were. That was nice of you.
That was really nice. Wasn't I in the Rotary Club for many years doing
is
all that?
That's
a charitable organization.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's been a
lot of
things.
That's just so middle American, that Rotary thing. Oh, isn't it? Come on. You drive into the town and it shows the Rotary there on the outside when you drive up.
It's true.
That's what it reminds me of.
However, I did that for a while because I wanted to give back to my community. I've been blessed and I want to give it back.
You're blessed with a son. You don't give back to him.
Yeah, well.
28 years. Oh. Almost 29 now.
And you haven't stopped asking for money in 28 years.
Because you never gave it.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to change now.
Oh, you should.
Okay. Flash Talks get what? Flash Talks
I was going to just say, you know, maybe in your old age.
The show for everyone that deals with money. Working stiffs, unemployed, freelancers or freeloaders, entrepreneurs, brokesters, trust fund kids and retirees. If you like what you hear here, tell your friends, tell your family. Talk to you next week. Bye.